The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'll be reading articles largely from the Mayo Clinic health letter. This is a supplement to the Mayo Clinic health letter from August 2024, and it's entitled Travel After the Pandemic. Take precautions so you can enjoy your trip. In February 2020, a man boarded the Diamond Princess cruise ship with his luggage and a slight cough. Several days later, he developed a fever. Sometime after that, the man was diagnosed with COVID-19. The ship was anchored, and thousands of the man's fellow passengers were quarantined in their cabins for at least 2 weeks as the crew attempted to stop the coronavirus from spreading. Despite their efforts, more than 600 passengers developed the disease, about 1 in 5 of people on board. More than 4 years later, effective vaccines have dramatically reduced COVID-related quarantines, hospitalizations, and death. In addition, travel restrictions, including mandatory masking and proof of vaccination, have lifted, and the plight of the Diamond Princess has faded from memory. As a result, increasing numbers of people are making up for lost travel time, heading out on road trips, booking flights, boarding cruises, and taking bus and train tours. But even though COVID-19 is no longer a public health emergency, you'll still want to take precautions to protect your health when you're away from home. If you're in your 60s or 70s or beyond, travel poses a unique set of risks, especially if you also have pre-existing conditions like diabetes, asthma, or heart disease, says Abhinash Virk, an infectious disease expert at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. None of that means you can't or shouldn't travel if you're older or have been diagnosed with health issues. With some planning and preparation, you can reduce your health risks, fully enjoy your time away, and be likelier to return healthy and injury-free. Whether you yearn to catch a big sporting event, see the northern lights, lounge on a beach, or traverse the countryside by rail, you'll likely want to enjoy every moment of the experience. That means understanding potential travel-related health challenges and taking steps to manage them. Travel safety starts long before you've packed your bags. Here are some important steps to take. Research your destination. Although traveling domestically is more familiar and predictable, researching your destination can still be valuable. Will your hotel accommodate your specific health needs? How much walking can you expect to do? Are you traveling to a high altitude? Are there any localized diseases worth knowing about? These might include Lyme disease, which is passed on by ticks, and the lung infection coccidiomycosis, which is caused by a fungus in soils of the desert southwest in the United States. The article points out that there are some helpful travel organizations that you can contact to help plan your trip, and these include the Centers for Disease Control at www.cdc.gov, the International Association of Medical Assistance to Travelers, the International Society of Travel Medicine, the Mayo Clinic Travel Medical Clinics, the U.S. Department of State, and the World Health Organization. The United States Department of State ranks travel risk on 4 levels. Level 1 areas are considered low risk. Level 2 and 3 regions need increased levels of caution. Level 4 areas are considered so dangerous the Department of State encourages people to stay away. Knowing the risk level can help you decide what precautions to take. You also may benefit from registering for the United States Department of State's Smart Traveler Enrollment Program, which updates you by email about safety condition at your destination and gives you a contact at the U.S. Embassy or Consulate in case of an emergency. About 4 to 6 weeks before your trip, meet with a healthcare professional to discuss your upcoming trip and prepare for any health problems that may arise. During this visit, you should go over your vaccine history. Ask whether you need updated vaccines based on your age and health history. These may include tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis, Tdap booster, and vaccines for flu, influenza, respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, or COVID-19. Depending on the country you plan to visit, you may need vaccines to reduce your risk of yellow fever, Japanese encephalitis, or rabies, among others, says Sandhya Nagarakante, MD, Program Director of the Mayo Clinic Infectious Disease Fellowship Program. Talk about your health problems. Heart disease, diabetes, asthma, arthritis, and other health conditions can cause complications at home as well as during travel. However, when traveling, you may not have access to the medical care you need. In addition, changes in altitude and barometric pressure can worsen some health problems. Work with your healthcare team to develop a plan for best managing your condition. You should also ask about just-in-case medicines. Depending on your health and age, your care team might recommend packing medicine to treat nausea and diarrhea, as well as antimicrobial medications. That way, you'll have them available should you come down with an illness and cannot access medical care. Depending on your health history, you may benefit from a consultation with a travel medical specialist. Decide what precautions you'll take. After meeting with your care team, make a plan for avoiding health problems during your trip. Consider how to avoid catching germs in crowded spaces, how to manage aches and pains that might come about from increased movement, what you will do to prevent foodborne illness, and how to stay safe while boating, swimming, doing adventure sports, or traveling by tour bus. If you've been diagnosed with a chronic disease, you'll likely want to take more precautions. You might take more precautions if traveling to a low or middle-income country with more limited health facilities. You should also develop an emergency health plan. The odds are your travel will go relatively smoothly, but it's still a good idea to plan ahead for the unexpected. For example, what will you do if your asthma flares up on a walking tour, or if you experience a dangerous blood clot while traveling by plane or at your destination? Similarly, what are your contingency plan in case you have an emergency, or if you get sick and need to isolate or quarantine? This is why meeting with a healthcare professional before your trip can be important. Together, you can anticipate potential health issues. And then there's a sidebar about using oxygen during travel. Traveling with oxygen requires planning and preparation. Meet with your healthcare team long before your trip to determine whether you will need more oxygen than usual while away. Then talk to representatives at your destination to ensure that enough oxygen can be stored on location for your use. Also investigate airline, train, bus, and cruise ship policies. For flights, most airlines allow you to carry portable oxygen on board. Some also offer in-flight oxygen for a fee. If you choose to take your own oxygen, make sure it comes from a Federal Aviation Administration approved device. If you already use daily oxygen, an increased flow rate likely will be recommended during flight. For trains, you can bring an oxygen with you on trains for no added charge. Be aware that some trains have weight limits. For cruises, at least 6 weeks before your trip, arrange with an oxygen supplier to have oxygen units sent to the ship. Make sure to reserve enough oxygen to last the entire voyage. For resorts and hotels, arrange with an oxygen supplier to have units sent to your destination. Before you leave, contact the resort to ensure that your oxygen supplies have arrived. If you're traveling internationally, make sure to obtain the appropriate country-specific adapter for plugging your device into a wall outlet for use or recharging. Bring extra batteries for times when plugging in may not be possible. Bring extra nasal prongs. Carry your oxygen prescription with you in the event you need to refresh your supply. Here's another sidebar that's called getting medical equipment through airport security. The Transportation Security Administration allows you to carry prescription medications and medical devices with you, though specific screening methods may be used. When you reach the security checkpoint, tell the TSA officer about any special health needs, as well as the equipment or medications you have with you. The first is prescription medications. The TSA 3.4-ounce liquids limit does not apply to insulin, IV bags, or other medically necessary medications and treatments. However, it's a good idea to bring a doctor's note and prescription with you, as it may speed your trip through security. Carry medications in their original bottles. Place them together in a clear plastic bag, along with freezer packs, syringes, and other necessities. People with diabetes may bring juice and snacks for blood sugar management. Note that the TSA allows canes, walkers, crutches, and other mobility aids in carry-on and checked luggages. Also note, you may bring your own wheelchair. Alternatively, airlines can provide you with a wheelchair or motorized cart, along with an attendant who can help you navigate the airport, as well as board and deplane. Note that you must remove nebulizers and continuous positive airway pressure machines from their carrying cases for the X-ray screening. You can keep the face mask and tubing in the case. It's okay to place your unit inside a clear plastic bag to keep it clean. Now the article continues. Look into travel health insurance. Travel health insurance covers out-of-the-pocket costs for travel-related medical care that otherwise wouldn't be covered under your domestic health plan. These supplemental policies are particularly beneficial for people with pre-existing medical conditions. In addition to reducing health costs, the policies can help you get better medical care. Some policies pay for you to be airlifted back to your home country. If you had to cover the cost of this transport out-of-pocket, it would likely cost between $25,000 and $150,000. When shopping for insurance, consider whether the policy covers medical services without requiring pre-authorization, offers 24/7 access to a physician staff support center, includes coverage for injuries sustained from high-risk activities you plan to try, like scuba diving or skiing, and includes coverage for mental health emergencies. It should also include coverage for pre-existing medical conditions and include coverage for medical evacuation. Many people move more on vacation, leading to muscle soreness. Think about how you'll spend your time while you're away. Then start building your strength and endurance for those activities. If you plan to hike a couple of hours a day, start training before the trip by walking uphill while carrying a backpack. By getting in better shape, you'll also put your body in a better position to fight off infections. Exercise boosts the immune system by maximizing the body's ability to use oxygen effectively. In addition, moderate exercise can increase the activity of virus-killing cells. The same can be said for getting adequate rest before your trip. Sleep deprivation worsens jet lag and can make it harder for your immune system to fight off infections. Good footwear is an important travel item that often is neglected. Supportive and well-fitting shoes can keep you moving with less wear and tear when you'll be on your feet more than usual. Good shoes can also reduce your risk of falls and thus of sprains, strains, and fractures that can cut your trip short. In addition to setting aside clothing appropriate for the area you're visiting, you also may want to assemble a travel health kit that includes N95 masks, non-prescription medications you take regularly, COVID-19 testing kits, your usual prescription medications, anti-malaria drugs, traveler's diarrhea, antibiotics, and any other medications prescribed by a travel medicine specialist, melatonin to help adjust to time zone changes, a broad-spectrum sunscreen of SPF 30 or higher, insect repellent, basic first aid like antiseptic cream and bandages, alcohol-based hand sanitizer, and a filtered water bottle and/or water disinfection tablets depending on your destination. In addition to taking those supplies, it's a good idea to carry essential information, like policy and contact numbers for your health insurance, supplemental travel insurance, and your regular care team. You also may want to carry a card with the name, street address, phone number, and email of your emergency contact. Now, another sidebar is called traveling with chronic health conditions. A lot of health-related travel advice applies to everyone, like making sure to pack prescriptions or meeting with a healthcare professional before the trip. But some health conditions pose unique travel challenges, which may require additional planning. And these are outlined in this list. And the first thing that is outlined is asthma. And under asthma, it says, consider wearing a medical identification bracelet and obtain a battery-powered portable nebulizer or bring a current converter if you're traveling abroad. Under COPD, it says, ask if you would benefit from supplemental oxygen on the flight and at higher altitudes, even if you don't use oxygen at home. Your care team can test your oxygen saturation level to determine this. Consider wearing a mask while flying if you have COPD. Under heart disease and high blood pressure, it says, remember that higher altitudes can stress the cardiovascular system, putting you at higher risk of heart events. Do not use the walk-through medical detector at airport security if you have an internal medical device like a pacemaker. TSA staff can do a pat-down instead. Monitor your blood pressure regularly. Some blood pressure medications may not work as effectively at higher altitudes. Under diabetes, it says, ask your healthcare professional how to adjust insulin or other diabetes medications while traveling across time zones. Consider wearing a medical ID bracelet. And be sure to bring disposable wipes or alcohol-based hand sanitizer for cleaning your hands before checking your blood sugar. Consider pre-ordering a diabetic meal for long flights. You should also carry snacks to prevent low blood sugar. Ask the TSA to do a hand inspection of continuous glucose monitors and insulin pumps rather than using a screening device. And keep insulin in your carry-on bag to prevent it from getting too cold during a flight. Under obstructive sleep apnea, it says, bring your CPAP machine with you, especially if you're staying at a higher altitude, and ask your care team if you would benefit from taking a diuretic if traveling to higher altitudes. Finally, if you have a suppressed immune system, prepare a contingency plan for severe illness while traveling, including the potential for quarantine. Request and fill a prescription for antiviral medication to treat COVID-19 before you depart to remove any barriers to getting treatment at your destination. Because these medications can interact with certain immunosuppressive drugs, you and a medical professional may need to develop a plan to safely modify your usual drug regimen if you need to use the antiviral. Make sure a healthcare professional completes the medical contraindications section on your international certificate of vaccination or prophylaxis if you are not able to get any required travel-related vaccines. Be sure to wear a mask in all places with high risk of exposure to germs and promptly report any symptoms and travel exposures upon your return. The article goes on to say, when packing prescription medications, pack all prescription medications you take regularly, like those for high blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, or chronic pain. Use these pointers. Pack more than what you need for your trip. That way you're prepared if your flight home gets delayed. Many insurance plans allow for a vacation override of medications at least once a year, permitting a refill earlier than usual or for a larger than usual quantity to avoid running out while away. Split up your prescriptions. Put some medications in your carry-on and the rest in your checked bag. If one of the bags is lost or delayed, you'll have at least some doses to get you by. Take a list of medications with you. If you know the names and doses of your medicines, you can refresh your supply more quickly if this is needed. Now here's another sidebar from this article that has very useful information about preventing jet lag. When you fly across several time zones, your internal clock may not keep pace with local time. This mismatch can cause you to be wide awake at night and tired, foggy, and cranky during the day. Try these tips for less lag. Before you leave, prioritize sleep, so you're well-rested for your trip. A few days before your trip, adjust your sleep-wake schedule to match your destination. If you're traveling east, go to bed 30 to 60 minutes earlier every night for a few days before your trip. Avoid evening light, including electronics. In the morning, expose yourself to bright natural light. If you're going west, go to bed 30 to 60 minutes later every night for several nights. Wake up later than usual and avoid bright light for a couple of hours. This may mean using sunglasses and staying off electronic devices. While you travel, set your watch to the destination time and attempt to sleep, or at least be in the dark, such as with an eye mask, during the destination nighttime. Try to stay awake during the destination daytime. Wear comfortable clothes so you can relax and rest as much as possible. Avoid alcohol and caffeine. These substances can interfere with your ability to fall asleep and stay asleep. Drink plenty of water to stay hydrated. Wear foam earplugs or noise-canceling headphones to reduce cabin noise. Avoid sleeping pills. Drowsiness and disorientation may affect your ability to react to an in-flight emergency and may linger after landing, particularly in older adults and in those who consume alcohol. Upon arrival, shift to the local schedule quickly. If it's daytime, go outdoors and walk around, even if you're tired. Daylight will help reset your brain's internal clock. A brief 20 to 30 minute nap soon after a morning arrival can help you make it to the destination bedtime. If it's evening or night, you may need to go to bed when you're not tired. As you approach bedtime, consider taking a 1 milligram dose of the sleep-promoting hormone melatonin. Eat meals according to your new time zone. What should you do if you're packing non-prescription drugs? Think about the non-prescription medications you usually take weekly and pack them in your carry-on bag or your suitcase. In addition, consider packing anti-diarrhea medication like Imodium, pain relievers like acetaminophen or Tylenol, motion sickness medicine if you'll be traveling by boat and are prone to motion sickness, cold medicines like cough drops, decongestants, and antihistamines, and melatonin if you plan to use it for sleep or to offset jet lag. What should you do while traveling to your destination? During your flight, road trip, bus ride, train ride, or cruise, follow some simple advice. It's common to think of travel-related illnesses as those of the rare or tropical variety. But the reality is that many travelers have their trips negatively impacted by an illness they could easily encounter at home. If you're age 60 or older, immunocompromised, or have a pre-existing medical condition like asthma, catching COVID-19, respiratory syncytial virus, or the flu can be more than an inconvenience. Any of these could land you in the hospital, especially if you're not fully vaccinated. As you travel, you'll likely share small spaces with a lot of people, which means your risk of respiratory infections goes up. To try to stay germ-free, consider wearing an N95 mask, which filters out 95% of germs when in higher-risk areas like elevators, airplanes, airports, and crowds. Practice good hand hygiene like you would at home. Wash your hands with soap and water, especially after eating. Carry alcohol-based hand sanitizer or wipes to use when you cannot access a sink with soap and running water. And the article goes on to point out that you should try to prevent dangerous blood clots, especially if you've had a DVT in the past, had recent surgery, are obese, or are taking birth control pills. You can do this by wearing compression stockings and by moving around, by taking rest breaks every 2 to 3 hours so you can walk around and stretch. You should also try to drink plenty of fluids. Well, it looks like we ran out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.